do our endorsement process, first of all, we have a lengthy questionnaire that people have to fill out. That's just the beginning. Secondly, after that, we have grassroots interviews, screening committees throughout the state. So there's a really rigorous process that people go through, and Democrats and Republicans apply for our line. And we look at all the candidates through a lens of who's going to best go out there and fight for the needs of working families who have really been battered by the Great Recession and really for decades before that. So we do endorse some Republicans, but a lot of times, truth be told, we endorse the Democrats. They run Democrat and working families. They run on both lines. But there's a reason why our voters vote for them on a different line. It's because they're really frustrated with where the Democratic Party has moved. There's some really strong people in the Democratic Party and some good people in the Republican Party. But too often, both parties are really focused on catering to wealthy interests that finance those parties. And that's at the local level and at the state level, and it very much so at the national level, as we see more and more.
How would you rate Governor Cuomo's relations with labor unions? He started out with a pretty bitter, intense battle with the teachers' unions. For a Democrat, it seems that his policies sometimes go against what labor, a traditional Democratic Party backer, would want.
It's been a mixed bag. I definitely want to highlight his recent focus on the $15 an hour minimum wage, because I think it's a game changer for working families, and the governor deserves a lot of credit for leading first with the wage board and now with a legislative campaign that hopefully we'll all be able to win and really change the lives of struggling working families across the state. I think that's huge, but there's a range of issues that working people care about and that unions care about. And some of the rhetoric that he's espoused, about teachers, has been really kind of shocking and beyond the pale for a lot of New Yorkers. This idea that public education is a monopoly that needs to be broken up was kind of, came across as really pretty shocking to people. And I think not just to the union, but to a lot of mainstream, New Yorkers as really out of touch.
Ethics reform and ethics in Albany, the Assembly Speaker, if that doesn't push change in Albany, what will?
To quote Bernie Sanders, we need a political revolution, and no place greater than in this area. I think people have been really stymied by their attempts for reform. It's not just about ethics. Ethics, I think, is embedded in a broader question about how we finance our campaigns. And we have a broken campaign finance system where elected officials, when they get in at the local office, they quickly learn that the way to get ahead is to cater to wealthy interests and sponsor legislation that those folks want to see. And then they get a big war chest, and they're already a viable contender for higher office. And right now, that's the default pathway for how people get ahead in New York State politics. At the WFP, we're really a different type of party. A quick example that illustrates that has to do with our contributions. When you look at the filings that anyone can look at for the Democratic Party or the state Republican Party, you'll see like one page of large contributions from $50,000 or $25,000 from LLC corporations. When you look at the WFP filing, the Working Families Party filing, hundreds and hundreds of pages of $20 contributions, $10 contributions, $50 contributions. We're a grassroots party, and that also is reflected in how we deal with our candidates. We don't just focus on the big races and for governor and the key state Senate swing districts. We also for us, the off-year elections, when people run for local offices, that's the most important time. We have to reform the system from that grassroots perspective. So for us, the odd years, this past year, those are the most important elections, and we spent a huge amount of time developing an alternative path to power for grassroots candidates so they can be true to their values. We have our progressive candidate pipeline project, and we won 71 out of 111 of our races, partnering with many other groups with great candidates, but we were proud to have played a role in supporting and helping these candidates win, and we know that when they go on to win in Albany, they're going to actually, they're going to have learned a different way about participating in the campaign finance system, and they're going to stay true and represent the grassroots.
The voter turnout, again, this year was pretty anemic. How do you change that? First of all, is the problem that people just don't want to vote? They're just apathetic? Or is it that the voting process is too difficult, registration, et cetera?
I think that certainly the voter process is ridiculous. It's held over from, you know, you can learn a lot about things by looking at their origins. And the voter process was made difficult as part of a concerted effort to disenfranchise at first black voters in this country and then white voters in this country and white working class voters in this country in the years, you know, after the Reconstruction period. And a lot, some of those laws have been rolled back, but some of them are still on the books. For example, you know, you have to have we have periodic registration. You have to register to vote proactively. And then if you don't vote for a while, you fall off the rolls and you have to register again. In most, you know, industrial countries, that's just not the case. You are registered automatically to vote, and there's no barrier. Election day is a holiday. You have things like early voting and mail voting, voting by mail. We have none of these things. So I think it's really fun. You know, we have to create fundamental change to so that people can exercise this very important right.
What is happening now as you look forward to 2016? Next year is not an off election. It's the presidency, it's the legislature, Congress, etc. What plans are being made right now, almost a year out, for next year?
Well, on the legislative front, the Working Families Party is going to be focused very much on some big items. $15 an hour minimum wage, as I mentioned earlier, is crucial for us. We think there's an opportunity for the state legislature and the governor to pass groundbreaking climate legislation. California's been leading the way. New York should lead the way, too. We think that there's a coalition coming together that can pass laws to codify some of the announcements that the governor has made into law and really mandate that we make change transitioning our economy away from a fossil fuel economy to a clean energy economy that's going to create thousands of jobs, paid family leave. Also, very important to us, criminal justice reform. We have to do something about our broken criminal justice system and create a society where every person feels valued. We need to make fundamental change in those areas and others. Beyond that, on the electoral front, for us, the state Senate, we need to see a progressive state Senate. New York State is, the new voter registration numbers came out and they were tallied. There's twice as many Democrats as there are Republicans, but because of gerrymandering, because of the spending of the real estate industry and the hedge funds, we have a Republican state Senate in an overwhelmingly blue state. And that is, it's kind of like the way the coal industry distorts the politics of West Virginia. It's really a distortion of our democracy. We need to make fundamental changes in how we do redistricting, how we fund our campaigns in New York State. And when we make those changes, I'm confident that we're going to have a Democratic Senate. We may have to actually win the Democratic Senate first to make those changes. 2016, I think, is a great chance for us to do that because it is a presidential year.